Hey, this is AP and Spencer, two lawyers talking college sports, sports law in general. This is season two, episode 36. 36. Are we going to do 40 episodes this time for this season again? Or are we going to are we going to go more than 40? What do you think?
Yeah, we'll have to see how it shakes out, right? When a good time to take a break is, maybe. Yeah. You know, it's about this time where you want a little break, especially when summer hits and people maybe take a trip or a camping trip, or you need to get a little get away. You know, and we have a lot of the people that I know around the country are kind of this using this time to take a vacation or do something. They're kind of getting out. So we'll have to see. But we have this is season two, and there's a lot kind of going on, like there is every week, right, Spence? And we have a few things to break. What makes our podcast, I think, challenging to do is we wait until sometimes Thursday or Friday morning to decide some of our topics on purpose. So we're bringing relevant stuff. Like if we had planned 2 weeks ago, oh, we're going to talk about XYZ and then a bunch of news breaks, that's not going to be that interesting to – I mean, it'll be okay. It would be interesting because you and I are doing it.
Well, of course. People love hearing our voices. But yeah. But no, but we want to bring breaking information, yeah. Breaking cases, and we want to break down kind of what's going on legally for the listeners so that they understand, okay, here's what these allegations are, here's what the – compliance violation was, et cetera, et cetera. And we want to do it as soon as we know about what the information is.
Yeah, and I think you and I, especially you, Spencer, are used to getting some information at a late hour, synthesizing it, and orally discussing it a little bit on the fly.
That's right. Yeah, I think that benefits the listeners and it benefits us too because we're learning about it too.
Exactly.
So the first thing we're going to talk about today is the retirement of Coach K, right? So Mike Krzyzewski, longtime Duke coach, head coach, been there 40 years, 40 plus years, is retiring at the end of this year. So this next year, upcoming year.
He's got one more season.
He's got one more season. He's going to do one more run through, try to get that sixth NCAA title. The guy's got five NCAA titles, 12 Final Four appearances, 1,100 plus wins. He's got three gold medals as the coach of Team USA. Is he, in your opinion, the greatest college coach, basketball coach of all time?
If you go basketball coach, I mean, you know, I've always struggled with this a little bit, right? Like people used to say, is Phil Jackson the best basketball coach ever? It's like NBA basketball coach. I don't know. You know what I mean? Like for a long time, Duke got the benefit of getting all the best players. So if you have all the best players and you win, are you a great coach? Are you a good recruiter? You know, I don't know.
A little bit of both, maybe.
Maybe a little bit of both. Maybe a little bit of luck. I mean, look what Mark Few was able to do in Spokane, Washington, with Gonzaga. That's pretty good. So, are you a program builder? Phil Jackson, when he had no talent, when Jordan was gone, or when they had Kobe and nobody for a period of time with the Lakers, they were out first and second round.
Right.
When he had all the collection of stars, he was able to manage their egos and win a championship. So I think it's hard to say personally that one coach is the best or the greatest. What I think he was good at is he was good at recruiting and building a long-term brand. That's hard to do in anything where, like, even Alabama's starting to do that with football, but I think once Nick Saban comes and leaves, that'll kind of fall off a little bit. Duke has been good for a long, 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 long time. So that's very impressive to be able to do that. It wasn't like hits and misses and things like that. Now, they're trending down a little bit for this year. I don't know what they're going to look like next year. They didn't even make the NCAA tournament this last year, believe it or not. And so we'll see what happens. Now, what do you think his legacy is if this next year they don't make the tournament either and then he leaves? What do you say?
Yeah, no, I think... I think
he'll. Has the game passed him by?
I still think he'll be revered as one of the top, if not the top, you know, college coach. I mean, his name is right up there with John Wooden, you know, Bobby Knight. I think there are a handful of coaches that he would rival as far as college coaches. And I think even if he has a down year again this year, it's still going to be the same. Now,
how do you personally view him?
I have a lot of respect for Coach K. I think he is a heck of a coach. I think he's a great recruiter. I do think he's a bit of a manipulator, you know, mm-hmm. personally. I think that he tries to manipulate the system to his benefit. And when the system isn't benefiting him, he changes the system. I mean, just look at last year, for example. They lose a game to a lower tiered opponent in the COVID year. him knowing that he's got a rough team, and then he immediately cancels his non-conference schedule, which they had, you know, a couple of pretty good teams, Gardner-Webb being one of them, that ended up making the tournament. That, you know, if Duke loses to Gardner-Webb on their home floor, even without fans, they're still going to be talked about, right? So I feel like, so last year, for example, he manipulated his schedule to benefit him so that they didn't have to play any more non-conference games. And he was like, well, COVID concerns, blah, blah, blah. But then once ACC play started around and you know, those COVID concerns went away, it was just kind of weird. So So I feel like Coach K is, and he's, you know, I recall a couple of times where BYU played Duke and in games, and he would get really mad at BYU because we didn't have the talent that he had, but we had guys that would hustle, and he would kind of yell at our players to like tell them not to play so hard, you know. And so like I have a great respect for Coach K. I think he's a heck of a coach. I do think he's a bit of a manipulator. What do you think?
Yeah, you know, I'd have to agree with some of that. You know, and I don't want to offend anybody. I mean, I know that we have certified listeners at the NCAA, Arizona State, Syracuse, Oregon State, USC, different places around the country that listen to our podcast. And so we try to be really fair, I think, and give people the benefit of the doubt. We say when we don't know something or something's not true. And I don't have any evidence that he's done anything wrong. So I'm not saying that. But, you know, I know that he's got a really good relationship with the NCAA. And so I think that he did a good job. Was it manipulation? Was it playing to his strengths? I don't know. But could he call the NCAA and maybe get something done that another school might have trouble doing? Maybe. And so I definitely think he was kind of king of the world in a lot of ways. And so, right. You know.
Well, yeah, I mean, just like any time that you're dealing with someone who has that level of, almost reverence, right? Reverence and respect for someone who's been that successful and, you know, for the most part has done things the right way. There really hasn't been a lot of scandal surrounding the Duke basketball program.
Now, what are your thoughts on this? You know, is there a little smoke that suddenly Zion, maybe one of Duke's largest scandals ever, is starting to kind of brew and suddenly he's retiring? Do you think they're completely mutually exclusive? Do you think there's anything to that?
There's no evidence to suggest that there's a connection there yet. Now, obviously, that's something we're going to follow, and we've been following Zion's legal, like compliance and legal issues here mm-hmm. Over the last year. Mm-hmm. And there certainly seems to be some smoke there, but there doesn't seem to be any connection yet to Coach K.
Yeah.
Right. So I don't see anything yet, but I'm not saying that there's never going to be, there could be some in the future, but right now there is no evidence of that.
I would really hate to see that. Let's say 6 months, 9 months from now, a year from now, all of a sudden some huge problems come from Zion.
Right.
The team's placed on probation, 2-year postseason ban. They knew some stuff. They hid some stuff. And he's gone. And the new coach is there left to hold the bag. I hope that's not what's going on here.
Well, Pete Carroll did a little bit of this right when he left USC. Do you think Pete Carroll's legacy is tarnished a little bit because of what happened? I mean, from what I understand, Carroll, some of the coaches may have known what was going on, but they didn't facilitate it. They didn't play a role in any of it.
Right.
But they still got punished. But I don't look at Pete Carroll's time at USC any different.
Right. Yeah, I think that...
Personally, anyway.
You know, I think that they didn't quite do the, let's have a statue of Pete Carroll. Let's have... There's a veranda named after him that on a small little floor.
Right. Oh, that makes sense.
You know, but I think that they muted a little bit. My personal opinion of it, I don't know this for a fact, but that they muted maybe a little bit of his celebration. Because he kind of, he denies this to this day that I was going to leave. I was going to the Seahawks, and there's no evidence of that either way. But it was sort of convenient that I left right amid things crashing and going south for 2 or 3 years. Right now, is Coach K, you know, thinking, well, I was going to retire in a few years. I would hate this Zion stuff to be a problem for 2 or 3 years, and I leave on like a dark cloud. Let me go ahead and get out of here. Because nothing's going to happen to the NCAA before the end of this next season happens.
Right, right.
I don't think that's going on, but it is kind of strange that one of their largest kind of, issues at the NCAA is brewing And he then suddenly makes his, you know, but he is older. He's in his 70s. Why do you think he never coached in the NBA?
Why does Mark Few not leave Gonzaga? I think people are starting to realize that it's really important to that if you've got something that's working, you know, you can continue to do that. I mean, how much is Coach K making every year? $4 or $5 million?
Yeah.
It's a lot of money.
Yeah, plus endorsements.
Plus endorsements, plus everything, and, you know, coaching Team USA and all that stuff. I mean, he's set financially for the rest of his life. In fact, his kids are probably set. His grandkids are probably set financially.
Millions in the bank. Yeah.
So you know, I think sometimes coaches, there is that pull. You know, you saw it with John Calipari. You saw it with Rick Pitino, who are these, you know, highly, highly motivated, hardworking coaches that do really, really well in the NCAA system and then go to the NBA and struggle. Right, because they're not in control of everything.
Yeah,
and you know, I think Coach K probably saw that and thought, you know, do I want that? Do I want to leave a great situation that I have in Duke, where I'm getting, you know, every year they have a top five recruiting class almost, right? Yeah. Why would I leave something that I love in a place that I love for greener pastures? I commend Coach K for that for sure. I mean, that level of loyalty and that desire to just stick around and be there and see kids through and all of that. I mean, you know, I've always had a great respect for Coach K for that.
Yeah, I mean, he's got his name on the floor. I mean, I know the Lakers flirted with him, I think back in 2004, right in there. Yeah. And I think he had considered it. I think I read a story on that too, that he was very close to going for Lakers. I was in the LA area at that time. I was living down there, and I remember there was a lot of smoke. I mean, there was a lot of, like, he's coming, he's signing, you know, he's got a relationship with Kobe, you know, it's going to happen.
Yeah, because he had coached him in the USA, USA basketball.
And Kobe had said he was going to go to Duke if he went to college. You know, I mean, right. So they were there, and I think he strongly considered it. But here's the thing, you go there, and let's say, like you just said, you flame out after a couple of years. You know, Phil Jackson was just there, and they're winning championships. He goes there, and he gets a second round and out, a first round and out, a second round and out. Can this sucker. He's a chump, you know, he can't handle it at the NBA. Well, now he just hurt his legacy.
That's right.
Yeah, he can go back to college, but now you're like a guy that chased something bigger, flamed out, and now you're going back to college with your tails. You know who I see that? No offense to him at all, but I've been a big fan of Chip Kelly's
for a long time. I was just thinking.
Yeah, I really have. I mean, he didn't invent. He adopted, because I think Utah invented some of it and stuff too, but he kind of tweaked they kind of this like spread offense and then made it like where it was almost unbeatable for a while. He rode those and moved on and then kind of flamed out in the NCAA or in the NFL.
Yeah.
Came now he's coming whimpering back to the NCAA and struggling at UCLA.
Right.
Where if he had been at Oregon all along, he could still be at Oregon now, probably still on top of his game. Oregon's a recruiting machine. Nike's going. He could have won 3 Rose Bowls, maybe a national championship by now.
For sure.
But he chased that kind of greener pasture. Sometimes that works. Sometimes that doesn't work.
Right. Well, yeah, but on the flip side, you have Nick Saban, right, who left LSU, goes to Miami, flames out, and then comes back and goes to Bama and now is widely considered one of the best college football coaches of all time.
That's it. Yeah.
So you know, he goes from I think Michigan State to LSU and then to the NFL and then back to Alabama, right? So yeah, Chip Kelly is kind of struggling at UCLA. We'll see how they do this year, but there are stories of coaches rare who will go and come back and have even more success, like Nick Saban.
That's true. So it's kind of, I guess it's just, it's one of those risks that you want to take. Coach K didn't want to take that risk. And, you know, he's going to leave as the greatest college basketball coach probably ever, one of them.
The winningest.
You know, he's won a bunch of championships, and he's done a great job. We'll see how he goes out this year. And then you don't want that job following him. That, like we've talked about, I mean, that's going to be a tough shoes to fill. But if you're a young, up-and-coming coach, you think, well, hey, what a better opportunity. I mean,
yeah, so they've announced a new coach, right? John Shire, mm-hmm. who's been the longtime assistant coach, played at Duke, was a heck of a player,
yeah.
Could shoot lights out. And then he went to the NBA, maybe played in Europe for a couple of years, and then came back and coached.
Yeah.
And, you know, he was really smart. He was a really heady player.
Yeah.
Right, really smart player. I'll bet you he'll be a heck of a coach. But it is it's a tough act to follow. You know, Coach K was in the NCAA tournament for years and years and years, and every year seemed to make a run.
Yeah, Elite Eight, Final Four.
I mean, 12 Final Fours in 40 years, that's more than 25% of the time he's in the Final Four. That's amazing.
Yeah, because it's a single elimination tournament. One bad game, you're out. So, yeah, I mean, that is amazing, and so we'll see. But we'll see what the Zion stuff does and kind of see what the future holds for Coach K. I could see him getting one of those kind of anchor jobs with the TV or something like that, right?
Yeah, he said he's going to be an ambassador for Duke, right? So, like, he's going to go into the Duke administration.
Sure.
And be an ambassador there. And, you know, he'll still be connected to the program, I'm sure. And you know, it'd be good to see him around. But, yeah, it'd be cool to see him it'd be interesting to see him on ESPN or Fox Sports or something like that, announcing some games or at least talking about analyzing games. It'd be cool to hear his insights.
Yeah, I'm sure that'll happen. Well, good stuff to talk about.
That's right. So one other thing that we want to talk before we take our break is we've had kind of an interesting issue here come up with an ex-NF or Louisville head coach or assistant coach.
Yeah.
So this is a guy by the name of Dino Gaudino. Right,
I think that's how you pronounce it. Yeah. Dino Gaudino.
Dino Gaudino.
Yeah,
he was a longtime coach at Wake Forest. He coached there for about 3-4 years. He then spent 8 years. He was the head coach at Wake Forest, had some success, made the NCAA tournament 1 or 2 years, I think. Then kind of piddled out. Then he went and he was an ESPN analyst for 8 years. I always found him to be really, really a really savvy, smart evaluator of the NCAA tournament, you know, NCAA teams. Yeah. I always thought I appreciated his insights. Well, so then in 2018, he goes back to Louisville, or he goes to Louisville to go with the head coach there, Chris Mack, because he had coached with him at Wake Forest. And he goes back there, and, you know, after 2 years of not making the tournament, Louisville decides to lay off their assistant coach, keeping their head coaches, but lay off their assistant coaches. Well, in that time, Dino said, you know, when he was getting terminated, he said, look, you pay me 17 months salary or $425,000 in a lump sum payment, or I'm going to go to the NCAA with all of this evidence of NCAA violations within the men's basketball program, right?
And yeah. I mean, he's threatening him.
He's extorting them, right? So he's extorting them. He's trying to get a benefit by means of threat, right? Which is what's going on here.
Now, is that as an attorney? I know that you're not a criminal attorney by trade every day, but the gist of extortion, what is that? I mean, what is extorting
somebody? Yeah, I mean, that's exactly. Well, so this is extortion by definition, right? So they're you're trying to acquire some benefit by use of force or threat, right?
What if the threat is true?
Well, as it was here, right? Yeah. Well, we don't know because we don't know what these allegations were. But
let's say it's true.
It's still extortion. If you're trying to benefit, and you know, and then Louisville, instead of saying, you know, caving to his threats, they say they reported him to the feds, and he got charged with extortion.
With extortion, right?
So he pled guilty to one count of attempted extortion. And he's going to avoid prison time. So he's just going to do, normally extortion, you're looking at maybe 1 to 2 years in prison. But he pleads guilty to a lower charge. And instead he's going to, you know, probably just pay a fine and do some probation, but and some community service. But still, moral of the story in this case is, if you want to negotiate some type of an out like this, get your attorneys involved and negotiate a severance package.
Yeah,
there's no need, to try to extort someone like this. I don't know what he was thinking.
Yeah, because good faith negotiations are not extortion.
That's right.
Like if a lawyer says, "Hey, look, you know, he's going to need this; otherwise, he's not going to agree to." That's not extortion. That's just we're agreeing to terms on good faith. But if you say, "I'm going to out you for this stuff," unless you do. That's not good faith negotiating. That's extortion, right?
It's a crime.
That's threats.
That's a threat. That's crime. And you know, I mean, I don't know where he got this idea. I don't know where he came up with this. I'd be really interested to hear his side of the story because I'm sure we're only getting part of the story, right?
Yeah.
But it just seems weird to me that you would think logically, you know, that this was a good idea. This seems silly to me.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's well, he didn't think it through well, and Louisville. It sounds like they probably maybe they do have some skeletons in the closet.
Yeah, right. But Louisville comes out of this whole situation squeaky clean, right? Like, this information that Dino has is now basically not going to go anywhere, probably.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the NCAA is like saying, hey, you avoided an extortion situation here. Good for you, right? So they,
yeah, yeah. I mean, right? They don't. They probably don't want to hear it. You know what right, I mean? Exactly. Like, what junk do you have now?
Right.
Because I bet you if the NCAA looks under a lot of rocks at a lot of schools, you're going to find stuff.
Right.
You know, and so you don't want to find it this way. You don't want to find it from people outing people and that sort of thing. What he really should have done is if he had this bad stuff, turned it over to the NCAA.
Exactly.
You know, or reported it to the school. And not
right, which
to,
you can do.
Which
right?
you can do.
You can just that's do not extortion. That. That's not extortion.
You're not trying to personally benefit.
Right. And that's the thing, right? So it better for him to negotiate in good faith some type of a severance package. And then if he wanted to punish the school rather than try to extort the school, right, he just presents the information.
So, hey, I need to report this. I feel right. bad.
This is something I have to do. You know, this is my moral obligation to report this to you.
Yeah.
Instead, he went the immoral route and tried to extort.
Yeah, not hide idea. It, but give me some money.
Yeah.
You know, it's blackmail in some ways, right?
That's right.
It's tied to that a little bit. Yes, interesting. So Louisville's had a lot of smoke. I mean,
ever since Rick Pitino was there, for sure.
Yeah, there's been a little. And where is he at right now?
He's at Iona.
Any
now, do you know their nickname?
Gales.
The Gales. Oh, hey.
Yeah, I'm learning. Boom. I'm learning.
That was like nothing.
Yeah. Iona Gales. Is there any smoke with Iona?
There, not that I can see, but I'll tell you what, he is getting recruits to go to Iona that wouldn't even have considered Iona 2 years ago. Now, granted, he's a name, right? And he's a heck of a coach. And he is a name. And you go play for Rick Pitino, you have a name associated with you.
Yeah.
So he's getting a lot of high-end transfers who are leaving big-time programs and going to Iona.
So if you're an NCAA investigator and you're seeing all these deflections to Iona and some of the places that they haven't even done an official visit and they signed with that school. And does that raise any flags for you? Do you think you think, no, it's Rick Pitino, he can get him with his name, I'm sure it's fine, they don't have any evidence? Or do you start thinking, I'm going to dig into this a little bit and make sure?
I don't know. I mean, it certainly is, you know, but what are those recruits going for, right? So are those recruits going because, you know, what is Rick Pitino alleged to have done in the past at Louisville, right? Some pretty bad stuff.
Not good stuff.
So not good stuff. So he's alleged to have, you know, allowed the players to have prostitutes and you know, parties with strippers and you know, money and all of that stuff.
So poor morals.
And you know, all allegations, right? Nothing.
Yeah.
I don't think anything was ever proven.
So we don't know.
We don't know. But those are allegations that took place. And then, you know, he was involved in this Adidas scandal with some money going to some of these players and families and agents trying to steer people to Louisville, right? We know that that's some of the stuff that was part of the Adidas evaluation. So, I don't see anything like that yet, but you never know, right? So are these players going to play because they want to play for Rick Pitino and get a good name there and play in a smaller conference and dominate the conference? You know, similar to kind of what Gonzaga does in the WCC, or are they going because Pitino is promising them some stuff, right?
Yeah, because is Pitino a good recruiter, or was he a good recruiter because of his shenanigans?
Yeah,
Now is he a good recruiter now because of the name he made on himself because of his shenanigans? Or is he, I don't know, you know what I mean? We'll find out, but if all of a sudden 2 or 3 years from now, Iona has a bunch of problems and players are getting money, then you really have to look at Rick Pitino as really just a Ponzi scheme.
Right. Well, Calipari, like John Calipari had problems at UMass, right? Left there to go to the NBA. There's some smoke around the Kentucky program. And so, you know, I mean, these coaches, they know how to you know, mess with the system, which is why I'm really interested to see how they'll approach their recruiting once the NIL rules come into play.
I know the compliance guy, he used to be, so Kevin Sargent is his name. He's fantastic. And he was a compliance director of football at USC when I was there. And then he was recruited away to go to Kentucky specifically to work with Rick Pitino. And John Calipari, not Rick Pitino. John Calipari at Kentucky. And I consider, you know, this person to have one of the best compliance minds in the country. And that was by design, I think, to bring – and you have one of the best compliance persons in the whole country now working with Rick Pitino.
Yeah.
I keep getting the name wrong. John Calipari, I'm sorry, at Kentucky. And so we'll find out. I mean, that's a smart move by a school. If you have a really powerful coach
right.
that has a lot of smoke, you got to go get somebody that knows the rules cold. Really well, is persuasive and has good contacts in the NCAA. You spend money on that person, you plug them right there. Because otherwise, that person's going to run over you. You know, I used to know somebody that was the compliance director for football. I won't say their name. At Michigan for a brief period of time. And I think that, you know, Harbaugh bulldozed that person a little bit.
Right.
Here's what we're going to do. And here, step aside. I'm going to do this, right? And that's where those compliance problems start festering in. Where you're getting, this person's not listening to me. It's almost like a client, you're having client control issues.
Yeah.
And you're saying stuff, they're not listening to you, they're bulldozing you, and big problems can rise and happen, and that's how it happens. And so you got to watch those big-time coaches, you know, and we'll see. But it's interesting stuff.
Yeah, for sure. And it's, you know, this is stuff that's going to be ongoing, and, you know, we'll continue to monitor. Now, hopefully this is the end of the Dino Gaudino case, but
yeah.
But the Coach K, you know, the retirement tour is going to be happening.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see what happens with the Zion stuff. See if there's any smoke there. Yep. We'll keep an eye on it.
Yep.
All right, this is AP and Spence, two lawyers talking college sports, sports law in general. And AP, who do we have today? We're doing something a little unique today, huh?
Yeah, I felt like we needed to kind of change it up for this week because we have a staff member at our law firm that's leaving. This is her last day today.
Yeah, very sad.
And her name's Cassie, and we'll leave it at that. But yeah, Cassie did a great job for us, and she's been here at our firm for a little while and is going to move on to greener pastures for her and her situation. But we thought, this is somebody that has experience in radio.
Yeah, that's true.
And has opinions on baseball.
Okay, let's talk and some I thought, baseball.
If you have those two things, let's get this person on the podcast.
Yeah,
we've never done anything like that before. Yeah. So, Cassie, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. Happy to be here.
Good, good. Have you ever been on a podcast before?
I have not, but I did do my own radio show, like you said.
Where'd you do a radio show?
I volunteer with KPSU, the college radio station at Portland State.
Oh. Do you know their nickname?
Portland State Vikings.
There we go.
Yes. I'm 2 for 2 today, Spence.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Right? You know, so, okay. So, yeah. Do you listen to any podcasts?
I listen to a ton of podcasts.
What's one of your favorites?
Other than ours, of course.
Right, of course. Morbid with Ash and Elena. Or, yeah, it's a true crime podcast.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah, or, yeah, mostly true crime.
Why do you like it? What sticks out to you about it?
It's easy to listen to a lot of the times.
Okay.
Because sometimes podcasts can use a lot of jargon that is confusing.
Yeah.
But Morbid does a really good job of explaining things very in-depth, but also not using a ton of, like, weird criminal jargon.
Have you ever done any true crime podcast, AP?
Well, I like to say that I have because it sounds good. It's like one of those things like, yeah, I've read War and Peace, and I've read, but I haven't. You know what I mean? Like, I've Googled them and learned about them and maybe listened to 2 minutes of it. But I haven't, but I've heard good things.
They're fun. Yeah. I think they're fun. I think they're fun to listen to. They tell a good story, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And they the way they organize the podcast, it's a lot more structured than what we do, right? Where we're just kind of bantering and just kind of talking, but like true crime podcasts.
They have like whole scripts.
Yeah, scripts and like good tie-in music and movements and an arc of the story. Yes. Anyways, it's pretty amazing.
Are you saying they're better than our podcast?
Just different.
Different.
Right,
more structured.
Yes, very much different.
We're more of a just kind of a let's talk about things and let's figure things out.
Yeah,
let's give information. There's no, I mean, we have structure, right? But we're not telling a grand arching story. If we wanted to take like some NCAA, like the Adidas scandal, and tell like a 10-part story about the Adidas scandal. We could do that. That would be more like a true crime.
Yeah.
I gotcha. So, one time I've heard somebody say about our podcast that our opinions are what they're thinking in their head, right? And they're thinking something, and then we talk about it and banter about what they're thinking. And I thought, I don't know if that's true for everybody, but that makes a good podcast in some ways, right? Have you ever experienced that where you're listening to something and you're like, exactly, I'm wondering that. Are you, you know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, there's a podcast that's, the name of it is Call Her Daddy. And it's like these two women who are talking about like sexism and that kind of stuff. And it's like, wow, I've thought about so much of this, but they put it in such a eloquent way that it's like, oh, wow, these people know exactly what I'm talking about. Exactly. And know what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you can connect that way.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's cool. Well, you know, one thing that we were thinking about Spence, and I think Spence is wearing an interesting shirt for today's podcast.
That's right.
A Seattle Mariners gray away jersey, right?
Yeah, I think they wear this for the home and away. Sometimes.
Home and away.
Yeah, but I'm a big Mariner fan. So to my great pain, because they're never any good. But I really like the Mariners. I've been a Mariner fan my whole life. I grew up going to Mariner fans. We'd go to one game a year when I was growing up. We'd sit in the nosebleed with my dad and my brothers, and we'd go to one game a year, right? So I love the Mariners.
So the Mariners, okay, so let me unpack the Mariners a little bit. They're an interesting team where they used to be, I mean, they had like the big unit, right?
That's right.
And the Curt Schilling. I think they won 105 games.
Yeah, they won 114 games.
114 games.
Yeah, with Ichiro
games.
Suzuki and
yes.
And some pretty amazing players, Jamie Moyer, and they had some great players.
So what happened? How did they go from that to maybe the last 15, 20 years where they really can't make the postseason? What's the problem?
I don't know. I really don't know. What do you think? Why do you think the Mariners are not able to succeed?
I feel like at least in the league, players get pulled to – the good players from college get pulled to better teams because of better contracts.
Right.
The Mariners, at least from what I've seen, do not offer great contracts to their to the college kids that they draft into their teams.
Yeah, I think I agree. I think their minor league system isn't great.
No.
Right? They don't seem to build up their players. And then the players that they build up – they seem to let them get away.
Yes,
right?
Absolutely.
And you know, it's kind of funny because I think that there are major league teams that are like the Mariners, and the Royals were like this for a long time, but then they improved. And I think the Astros were like this, but then they improved. Mm-hmm. They're kind of minor league teams within the majors, yeah. Right? So players will come to the Mariners, build up their name to a point where they're super good, and then Mariners say, well, we're not going to pay you the max contract,
yeah.
And then that player will then go to the Yankees or who, you know, the Giants or someone like that, mm-hmm. and then they'll be all-stars, you know?
Yeah, and the Giants are having a heck of a season.
Right, yeah. So, like, that's the kind of thing that the Mariners do, and that kind of bugs me a little bit. But nevertheless, I still want them to succeed, and I want them to do well.
Yeah, I feel like for Spencer, you're a guy that you're going to stick with the team win or loss.
That's
you're
right.
Not a front runner. You're not, you know, one of those.
I'm not a bandwagon guy.
Wagon.
So like if I like moved to LA, for example,
right.
I wouldn't immediately start cheering for the Lakers.
Right.
Right. I would still cheer for the Blazers.
Right. Or
right?
The Dodgers.
Yeah. Or the Dodgers. I would still cheer for the Mariners. Right. I'm not saying that's anybody in this table right now.
Yeah. Yeah. I did do that. I moved to Los Angeles and I had friends. I'd go to barbecues and different events, and everybody's watching the Dodger game or they're watching the Laker game, right?
Yeah.
And I would start kind of like, I hate the Lakers, let me watch some of this. Oh, that's kind of fun. Oh, we're having fun. I'll put a jersey on.
There's a difference. There's
right?
a difference.
And then you fall in love with the team.
Yeah.
That's what happens.
That's true. And I think that that's okay, right?
Yeah.
But I just think.
Because you're a huge Jazz fan too, right?
No, negative. No, I can't stand the Jazz. Even though I lived in Utah for 5 years.
What about
right?
North Carolina?
I'm not a big Carolina Panther fan or a Charlotte Bobcat or what are they, Charlotte Hornet fan.
Is there a team you're a fan of that you really don't have any regional affiliation with?
So I've been a fan. My National League teams are the Padres because my wife is from San Diego.
And because they're doing well this season.
No.
Okay.
No.
Even though they are.
Yeah, even though they are. But my father-in-law loves the Padres, and I've got some family that love the Padres. And then the Braves. I've always been a fan of the Braves. Now, the reason why
that's
is because...
It's kind of a front-running team. Braves,
No.
Huh?
Now, the reason why is because this goes all the way back to...
The 90s, right?
No, the 80s. The 80s. My family, we didn't have cable, right? We couldn't afford cable, for heaven's sakes. There's no way. But we were able to get WGN and TBS,
okay.
Right?
Okay.
And WGN showed the Cubs games, but those were always during the day.
Right.
And then the TBS would show the Braves game. And in my house growing up, we could only watch a half hour of TV a day. unless it was sports.
Ah.
Then it wasn't TV. Then there was no cap. Right. So we would watch. So I would watch the Braves a lot.
Okay, that's fair. So you have some. How about you, Cassie? First of all, what is your favorite baseball team? Do you even follow baseball?
I do follow Major League Baseball. I don't have a particular team that I affiliate myself with, just because I don't really have a huge like regional affiliation.
Okay.
I do tip my hat to the Mariners usually because they do pretty all right. The Giants, my mom was a huge, huge fan of the Giants when I was younger, so that would probably be the one that I would say I have the most related to, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, I follow it. I do follow the Giants. They are having kind of an incredible season this year.
They are, yeah. That division is really tough. The Padres, Giants, Dodgers, they're battling it out, but I feel like San Francisco's... I feel like they won the championship like in 10, 12, or 4, and 14.
That's right.
Yeah. Or something like that. I mean, it was incredible.
Even years they win, yeah.
Even years they win, and this is 2021, so they're screwed.
That's not going to happen. Sure, definitely.
but, you know, maybe...
You know, they could still pull it out, but...
Yeah, we'll find out.
You know, the patterns don't lie.
Now, this is the wrench that could be thrown into all of this, is what happens if PDX gets a team?
Well, see, we were just talking about... Exactly right. First of all, yeah, is
Portland... Because if Portland gets a team... That's my I hope they're a national team because I'm a Mariner fan and they're in the American League. But if Portland gets a team and they're an American team, I'm whatever Portland's team would be 100%.
Now, what if they are a national team?
Then I can cheer for the Mariners and whatever Portland.
And they're playing each other. Who are you rooting for?
I probably would root for Portland in that
regional.
Region. Yeah, I'd be regional.
You say regional.
I would think I would also be regional.
Okay, so but. Cassie, do you think Portland should get a team? And if are they going to get a team? What are your thoughts on that?
I think anything is possible with them getting a team. Because I think Portland's overdue for some type of sport that isn't baseball or hockey being played in the national level.
Mm-hmm.
However, having family that works in the public transit system, I cannot... say that I would be super thrilled about another sports team in Portland.
Oh, yeah, because when they get out, the games get out, I mean, those things are packed, awful. Right? There's fights, there's drunk people, it's just a mess. I can imagine. I've seen that in Los Angeles.
And you'd have 80 plus games per year.
You'd have so many games,
right?
Yeah.
But I would love a team here.
No, I don't. I think it would be so fun because the only team that we really have is the Pickles.
Yeah, the Pickles. Yeah, there's the Hillsboro Hops, right?
Yeah, but I mean...
Hillsboro Hops, right?
They're a single A team.
I love the Pickles. Just because, first of all, their mascot makes me giggle every time.
How many pickles are out there, do you think, other than...
I only know the Portland Pickles.
Yeah, I only know the Portland Pickles. Of course. They used to be the Beavers.
Yeah, why did they switch from the Beavers? Because of Oregon State?
There was a Triple A team here in Portland called the Beavers for years.
Yeah.
Played PG Park, right?
PG Park.
Yeah, I went to most of their games.
Yeah, really? Yeah, we did too. We would go to games every year. And so then they left, and then they came back, and then they lost that team because the Portland Timbers took over that park.
Yeah.
And then the MLS required that if you have a team, a professional soccer team, you can't have any other teams that play in that arena.
Okay.
And so they kicked the Portland Beavers out.
Oh.
And so then the Pickles, the Portland Pickles, which is a professional wood bat league. So you'd be interested in this because they're mostly college sports, college age kids playing at universities.
All right. Not hurting their eligibility.
Not hurting their eligibility.
Exactly.
And they're just going and playing for the summer.
Just to keep their skills sharp. They're not getting paid.
Which
is the fun part, I think, about the Pickles.
Yeah. And they're fun. It's fun to go to the game.
Have you guys been to a Pickles game?
I have definitely been to a Pickles game.
Yeah, I've been to
a lot. Can you get like one of those upside-down helmet ice creams?
Yeah.
Have you guys had that
Absolutely.
Before? Oh, I used to go to M's games in Eugene when I was a kid. And I always have these little upside-down helmet and I'd eat ice cream. I collected them. It was fantastic.
Yeah. Okay. So it's fun. They're fun games to go to. And I have a blast at them. And I there's a pretty good following.
Yeah.
Right, I mean, when before COVID, we went to the year before COVID. I think we went to 3 or 4 games. Every game was sold out. They're
so fun.
They're fun. Yeah. The food there is good. The atmosphere is fun. You see people at those games that you wouldn't normally see at other games, just because it's kind of a unique.
Yeah.
It's kind of like over in kind of a unique part of Portland, like East Portland, And anyways, I just had a blast at those games.
Sounds like that would be a great team building activity for a law firm.
Yeah, I like it. Well, maybe once the pickles open up, maybe we all go.
Are they
open?
Yeah, I was looking at tickets the other day.
Oh, dang. All right. Well, we should go. We'll
give that another thing. Well, Spencer, I know you got to run. Baseball. Spencer has baseball on the deck for tonight. Yeah. I know it. So we're going to let him go. We're going to, but Cassie, thank you for your efforts at our law firm, first of all, and professionally. Mm-hmm. And then your comments today on baseball and just getting you on the podcast was a lot of fun. Good working with you.
Yeah.
Hopefully we can stay in touch and wish you all the best.
Yeah. Best of luck to you in the future.
Yeah.
All right, well, that was a lot of fun. We're going to miss Cassie around here. She was a good worker, good person, always had something fun to say, and laughed at your jokes, at least.
And that's hard to do.
Yeah.
That was part of her job task. Right. I mean, she had two jobs, basically, because that's not easy to do, Spence.
That's right. I mean, my jokes are always fun.
Yeah, that's not work.
So that's people laughing at my jokes is sometimes tough.
Yeah, kind of go, All right, let me add two minutes of my time for the day.
I've been accused of having dad jokes, which I think my jokes are better than dad jokes.
You know, there is a TikTok called Dad Jokes. You should look it up. And this guy just does a can of a million different dad jokes. It's and one of them is, did you get a haircut? No, I had them all cut. You know, things like that. I love it.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, it is. It really is. Right. If I come across it on TikTok, I'll send it to you.
Okay,
you should just follow that guy.
Well, unfortunately, the Blazers have bowed out of the playoffs, as have your Lakers, actually, as well.
Yeah, both did, and I was rooting hard for both. And it's between Blazers and Lakers, I always go for Blazers. But, you know, the Blazers, briefly, and you got to get going on this baseball, but you know, the gist for me is Damian Lillard needs a lot of help, or we're going to lose him.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, he might think this is cute and fun for a little while. I promise you, if he has one more year like this next year, he's going to say, I want to be loyal, but I don't want the end of my career to come, and I never competed for a championship.
Yeah, but what do you do? I mean, do you go out? I mean, you know, it's too bad. It still is frustrating that we lost LaMarcus Aldridge, right?
Yeah. I feel like he chose to leave.
I feel like L.A. with Dame would have been a great duo with Nurkic and CJ. That would have been a powerful...
Yeah, that would have been a Western Conference Finals team.
Exactly, right? But so we need a better four, because Covington, I just didn't think Covington really did much.
No.
We need Nurkic to stay healthy.
Yeah.
And then the question is, do you keep CJ, and then what do you do at the three, right?
Yeah. I think you're going to have to move CJ, because the two-guard thing has only taken them so far, and I really think they need a star power forward. Well, you're going to have to lean, because I was here that Portland can't attract...
But who do you go after, though? Like what star power forward out there that's potentially could come here?
You're going to have to find somebody whose contract's expiring that wants out, right? Like for the guy at the Bucks,
Giannis,
right? I mean, now, but if Dame could do it, a lot of players want to play with Dame.
Right.
So if he can go out and you say, okay, you're going to lose Giannis after next year. You know that you are Bucks, and you're going to get nothing for him. So we're going to give you CJ, we're going to give you Anthony, we're going to give you a couple of people, Simons, some picks, and take it and rebuild, because you're not keeping that guy. And then Damon recruits him to get him, and then maybe there's a spinoff from the Clippers that are tired from, you know, and they get a couple of like kind of has-been stars that are role players, and you build kind of around Damon you're built for 2 years to win. They're going to have to do that. Otherwise, imagine how disappointing it would be if they just rebuild and then it's Dame and nobody and the Blazers are first round and out for 3 years in a row. You know, I don't think that's quite good enough. And so and stars will come here. I mean, we've attracted Covington. We've attracted Hood. We attracted Melo.
Carmelo, yeah.
You know, so we have attracted big-time stars. And people want to play with Dame. I mean, the Utah Jazz are one of the best teams in the NBA. Utah's a small market. Phoenix is one of the best teams. They're a small market.
Yeah.
Denver's a fairly small market. You know, Oklahoma City was a small market. The San Antonio Spurs were a small market.
Did you know that of the teams that are remaining, who is of the teams that are remaining in the NBA playoffs, who is the last team in the team of the teams still playing to have won an NBA title?
Probably. Gosh, let me think of it's not the Clippers.
It's not the Clippers. The Clippers have never won.
It's not the Jazz.
It's not the Jazz. Jazz have never won. The Suns have never won.
Suns have never won.
It's the Dallas Mavericks.
Mavericks, and they won in like
2011. Yeah. So that's the, and then before then, it's like the Sixers in like 82.
Yeah, which okay, is gonna be kind of an exciting
right. I mean, I love it. I got tired. I don't know about you.
Well, yeah,
I got tired Bulls, I got tired. Spurs. I got tired of the Warriors and the Heat. And the Heat. And the Warriors and the Cavs. I got tired of it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That hurt the NBA, I thought.
And then last year having it be once again the Lakers and another. Yeah. So I'm excited this year. I hope it's a really fun year. The problem is, I think the NBA is like looking at it and thinking our ratings are going to be nothing.
Well, you know what I'm afraid that's going to happen, Spence. You know who's going to win it? In my opinion, Brooklyn. And then it's like, okay, well they went out and got Durant and they got all these stars on the same team. And they're New York. Oh, Brooklyn won it. And it's like, well, okay, so then is that really the NBA? I would like to see Phoenix versus Milwaukee.
Yeah,
or Utah fun. Versus Milwaukee.
Yeah.
Right? Or something like that. I would like that. People say, the NBA is always big on this markets thing. The NFL likes Green Bay. They like small market.
Green Bay is huge, right?
Huge. Yeah, and there's always this thought in the NBA office, I think, that like if you don't have two big markets playing each other, nobody's going to watch. That isn't true. That's not true at all. They will watch, and it's interesting, right? It does get boring when it's the same. But I'm telling you right now, if Brooklyn wins it, then the only recipe to winning in the NBA is you just get three or four superstars on the same team.
And yep, and you just roll out the ball, and you – I mean, Steve Nash is their coach. You think he's doing a lot of coaching? I mean,
no,
You just let Harden and Kyrie and KD do their thing, and
yep.
And you go win games.
And go win games. Yeah. And so that's going to be disappointing if that happens, but I wouldn't be surprised. But you're gonna have to change something up. And Dame kind of basically said that you know, obviously we couldn't even beat an injured Denver.
Right.
If we can't beat an injured Denver, they really got beat pretty bad. I mean, 4-2, they lost at home. You know, they couldn't even take it to 7 games. They played competitively, but I think you after next year you lose Dame if you don't make some big changes. So the Blazers are gonna have to probably. I've heard Danny Ainge's name as a GM because if Brad Stevens is leaving to take the GM of the Celtics,
that's right. Danny Ainge retired.
Yeah. Danny Ainge come out here. Can you imagine the GM of the Blazers? He goes and gets a new coach, brings Rick Adelman back or something like that. You know, and we get it going. We'll find out.
One name I saw that is going to interview for the head coaching position potentially, assuming that they let Terry Stotts go, is Jason Kidd.
Heard that too. He's a big name. You know, I don't know if he's a great coach.
I never thought he was a great coach.
Yeah, I think he's a name, you know, but I think you're going to need to get somebody that's got some experience. They've been to the playoffs before. They've won a series before. And you bring Danny Ainge in and you try to win now.
Yeah.
You don't let Dame go. Don't trade Dame. Don't do anything like that. Don't let him leave. Lock him down in a contract. And you just put all your chips in and you try to get him one or two other stars if you can. And some role players, and just do the best you can. And have Dame go on like a tear of trying to recruit some people.
Well, the question that I have for you, AP, is as the rest of the NBA playoffs go, will you be, you know, will you watch the games?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I do.
Because my interest for the NBA goes down considerably once the Blazers are out.
Yeah, I won't watch a game. Like, I'm not going to sit here and go, I'm going to just tune in and it's Phoenix versus Denver. I'm watching this game. But I'll pay attention because it's kind of cool to me to see if, like, what if Denver won a championship or Utah or Phoenix? That's going to interest me. If it's Brooklyn versus somebody and they're up 3-0, it's going to be just, I hate the NBA. It's always about just get a collection of three or four stars on the same team and that team wins it.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to watch that at all. But my interest is not the same. I don't have that same passion because I don't care about any of the other teams.
Right.
So,
I mean, I'll still cheer. I mean, but I just won't, you know, like last night I'm at a baseball game for my son and I'm following along in the Blazer game, right? On my phone.
So now you're not going to do that with the Phoenix game.
Yeah. I'll check at the end of the night.
Yeah.
You'd be like, oh, the Suns beat the Denver in the first game. Okay. Well, all right. Great.
Yeah.
You know, if it happens to be on and my wife's not at my house and like, I might watch a little bit of it, but anyways, I don't know. So I'm just not that excited about it.
No, the NBA ratings have been down. And last year they had Miami versus the Lakers and the ratings were down.
Yeah.
Right. And so I think people are tired of let's grab a bunch of collection of players on the same team and have that team win the championship. Because the small markets are never going to be able to do that. And so then it hurts the brand, right? And so the NBA, I think, is going to have to fix that. Where they start spreading it out where there's 10, 12 teams that actually could win the championship, not just two or three.
Right. I agree. All right. Well, you know, hopefully your team is still in the tournament, right? If you're listening, hopefully they're still in it. And the NBA tournament championship, hopefully they win it all. And for so who's the team that's in the NBA championship? Or the, we should both. What we should do is we should both pick a team.
Yeah,
and we should both pick a team, and we should follow that team.
Not a bad idea.
And see. So next week, I want you to come next week prepared to choose one team.
And how that's we make the rule? It can't be Brooklyn.
It can't be Brooklyn. But you got to choose one team that's still in the tournament.
Okay.
That's still in the NBA finals. That's going to be your team for the rest of the playoffs.
We will cheer for
them. And you have to cheer for them. And, you know, maybe we'll get jerseys or something.
Let's do a post on our site.
So you got to have one. I'll pick one. Okay. Right. Next week. Can't be the same team.
No. We'll announce it next week. That sounds fun.
All right. Well, we hope you have a great weekend and, you know, enjoy the sun out there a little bit, huh?
Let's get out.